Between the Ribs with host Jonathan Morris, fourth generation farmer. First-hand insight into farming, faith, and family, as only Jonathan can bring. Between the Ribs. Between the Ribs on Florida Man Radio.
Kiss my baby and got on the way. Florida Man Radio, what's cracking, lacking? Between the Ribs here with me, Jonathan Morris. Farm, faith, family, and future. In the building, doing whatever she does down there to make me sound like a cherub. Heather Hippopotamus.
Hello.
Hello, ma'am. And the ladies have been reduced to lady.
Lady.
In the house, the return of the ladies, Alyssa Morris.
Hello. Are we going to get our own theme song?
Well, I thought you had it.
There we go.
Way to go, Stedman. I'm sorry. Way to go, Heather. With your timing. Timing was epic. I got the dirty bird.
Hey, gosh.
8 seconds into the show and I got the dirty bird. This is going to be a heck of a show.
It's going to be a great show.
Sam Bone is overcoming an illness, if you will. The larynx box.
The what?
The larynx.
Is that what it's called?
The thing right here, your box, your vocals. She had strep throat or something. Who knows?
Yeah. She'll be better soon.
Stay home at night. Quit going out. There ain't nothing out there for you young ladies after 10 p.m. But strep throat, staph, the clap, and trouble. In that order.
I'll let her know.
She's probably listening. Be a part of the show. Give us a call, if you will, 321-339-1055, or as they say, 1055. Are you going to leave an open mic? Open mic's on today?
Oh, we do. Yes, we do.
All right, open mics are up, running. So leave an open mic, be a part of the show. We got some crazy stuff going on. Farmland is on the bye. Bye-bye. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Literally, wave goodbye as they buy it all up.
What are you going to do if they do that? They can't do that.
So Alyssa can tell you personally how it broke her heart when she had to give up her mud track.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
What's a mud track?
A mud track. You know, where you go mudding. You flood a place and you go mudding.
Like in your car or
in your car, yeah.
Okay.
Or you can go by yourself.
On a bike? Just
dumping it.
Wait, preferably in her four-wheel drive Jeep.
Yeah.
Not in a car.
Okay. I was wondering if it was like a dirt bike thing or a car thing.
Or a four-wheeler thing.
Okay.
Four-wheeler, side-by-side. Dirt bikes are fun. And by the way,
so
just for the record,
you flood the place on purpose. You don't just go and wait for rain.
I'll be like, "Hey, Daddy, like, I want to go mudding." He'll leave the hose on, and then the next day we'll go mudding.
Clock
it's
in.
A fun time. That's what we did during COVID.
That does sound fun, but it seems like you need the water for like other things.
I do. No? Okay. And the water runs off, and the other ditch goes back to the ground.
Okay.
It's called subsoil irrigation.
Okay.
So you can buy a ticket to a mud show. And by the way, the Morris family, we don't drive cars.
No, we don't. I'm sorry.
Truck gang.
Truck gang.
We're truck gang.
They're the T up in the air.
My bad.
We ain't got no cars. We drive truck. If you see another truck coming down the road, hand in a T, yell truck gang.
So y'all are trying to make that a thing instead of like Jeep?
No, that's a thing.
It's not a truck.
Actually, there's this. I don't know if he's a metrosexual or if he just plays homosexual. His name's Ginger Billy. He's a very fit, muscular man that runs around the woods in cut off jean shorts. And he used to just do funny bits about, jacking up his lawnmower and drinking beer and fishing and all this stuff. And then he actually started writing parody songs. And one of them is Truck Gang.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't drive no car, man.
One of his lines is, if you squat your truck, you squat when you pee.
Yeah, we'll pull it up during the break. We'll come back with it.
Okay, so the squatting of the truck, that's when you put, like, the front end up.
Yeah, you know, when they throw their towel in the area and they yell, South Carolina. And that's called the South Carolina squat. They squat their trucks in the back.
Yeah,
it's about the stupidest thing you can do to a
Yeah, it's actually like just been like made illegal or something.
Yes, it is. It has been outlawed.
South Carolina.
Yeah, it has
been outlawed in some states. Yes. Well, it's very unsafe because you got these idiots that are probably already high up anyway, literally like on the dope.
Yeah, you can't see over your.
They drop the truck so far in the back. And listen, I grew up on hydraulics. There ain't nothing wrong with a little side to side in front of the back.
Why though?
But because it's cool at the red light. when there's a lady at the bus stop sucking on a lollipop, you got to hit the. Left to right, front to back.
So you're putting on a show for people waiting on the bus?
In your six-foot Impala. Yeah, it's a really weird story. But it's the lifestyle of Pahokee. Ask my wife.
Did y'all not have board games?
Who needs board games when you got drop top.
I'm just wondering. It's making sense.
And you know the funniest thing ever? No disrespect to the with Cinco de Mayo on the way. And you're really sidetracking me. Shannon's gonna be mad at me already for hanging out.
It's okay.
If you listen to my voice and you're not at my shop, go see Shannon. He's gambling somewhere. There's an event going on there, the dog track or racetrack.
Oh, yeah.
Up in Longwood.
The Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, wait till my shop's closed, please. Jonathan comes first. Morganic meets, and then go see Shannon. Him and Miss Kim are up there. She's all dolled out, got her big hat on, doing the Kentucky Derby thing. We should stop by on the way home.
Okay, we can.
We got to find a thrift shop, though, get some hats. We got to
go
in
there. Hat.
We'll stop, and we'll flip some tags. We'll get it. So, no, with May 5th, Cinco de Mayo coming up, all due respect to the Mexican community, the poor Mexicans, if you will, didn't have the money to pay for hydraulics. So literally in their Cadillacs and their El Caminos and their Impalas, they would load their trunks with cinder blocks. I swear on my life.
I wish I was
making it up. No, because you want to be cool. You want to drop the back. You want to ride.
What happens when she wants to put her bag in the back?
There ain't no room in the trunk. Backseat on.
I proudly drive a minivan.
So they would overweight. Listen, they would. This is how ghetto hood we grew up. They would purposely go around and get cinder blocks and overweight the back of their cars, so they would the bumper would drag the ground, and then you would watch them move their body in the driver's seat as if the car had hydraulics. Because when the car has hydraulics, you know it goes like a shoulder roll to the left, shoulder roll to the right.
So you're just bouncing in your car without hydraulics?
Well, you would watch the guys that had cinder blocks pretending that their car was moving, and really it wasn't. That's back when drugs were good. And nobody was overdosing on fentanyl. They were just doing things like, hey, man, what are you going to do? I don't know. Let's go get some cinder blocks and drop our car and say.
Okay, that is so dumb. Okay.
That's why I moved to Lake Mary. I live in the beautiful city of Lake Mary, and I did not bring that hood mentality with me. I'm straight cracker now. I'm a straight up white boy now.
So yes, we're go mudding.
So anyways, so no disrespect to Publix. I know a lot of people love Publix. But King's Crossing, King's Corner, I mean, there on 46 and 415 was our 40-acre farm. Now, we leased it. We didn't own it. Mr. King owned it. He had a tax burden that he could not sell it while he was alive unless the tax burden was purchased. That was $5 million. I could not afford that. But when he died, the tax burden died, and his son sold it the day he died. I've told this story on the radio before. So, bye-bye farmland, literally the North American, and I shouldn't talk bad about them in case you ever want to sponsor my show, the North American Development Company out of West Palm Beach, Florida, who utilizes his offshore money, goes around behind Publix, kind of like the ambulance chaser, if you will, of lawyers, right? I'm not going to call any names. We all know the billboards. And anywhere Publix goes and tries to buy property to build a plaza and gets denied, these people have the money to go in. So Publix does all the work, all the soil samples and the site development. They do everything. And at the last minute, when it gets denied, these people just come in, they scoop up the permit, scoop up the paperwork, they go back to the city, and they make a $3.5 million investment into the environmental community. Literally. There was a $3.5 million investment to the Seminole County Environmental Fund, Trust Fund, and then conveniently all the permits got passed. But by this point, Publix had moved on, and their buyers, the people that buy for them, had moved on to other properties. So this company came in, swooped up the corner, and it spent $9.5 million. So farmers cannot pay that. There's no way in a million years of farming that we could profit $9.5 million on 40 acres. So this is just a local example of how it happened here in Seminole County. And I know in Fort Walton, or somewhere in the Fort Walton County is happening, and I'm going to do that story one day. I just got some more research to do. I don't want to talk about it until I know everything. So it's not just happening here. It's happening everywhere, all over the country. And the reason it's happening, it started back in the early 2000s, like 2006, 2007, right when that housing market bust was going to happen. And all the people that knew about that up front, you know, the wise investors, if you will, the inside people, they were like, we got to find a place to put some of this money so we don't lose it all. And they went around to some of these farms that were on the verge of bankrupt, but they owned the land, and they owned the land forever, and they had tax incentives for being agricultural land. So they're like, hey, we'll give you $1 million. Just give us some rights to the land and a little bit of percentage on the back, and it's a clean, safe investment. And by putting their money into, I don't know if this has ever been talked about before. This John Morris may be the first person ever talked about this. A lot of those people that should have paid back money to the banks, paid back money to the government, by investing into a farm, by buying into a farm, that farm's allowed to take a loss. Because agriculture is one of those businesses where there's livestock, there's dead stock. Where there's crops, there's failure. So these people on books could finagle it to where, hey, man, I put $1 million into Morris Stanley Farms, and, man, they had a bad year. They didn't harvest anything. We've talked about this before on the show about farms
taking losses.
Losses on purpose. Remember that one story we did about that farmer up in Virginia, the family? They were growing all those tomatoes, and they were only picking, like, they were saying they only picked 40 boxes, when really they picked 42,000 boxes, and they were cashing in on insurance and fraud and you know, all the stuff that you're allowed to do. So these people were able to take their money, and that's why when people are like, man, when the housing market happened, I lost my house. My brother lost his house. My sister lost her house. Everybody I know lost their house. But how did BlackRock and REITs and Farmland Partners and Gladstone Land Companies, how did these guys stay so wealthy and keep buying land and building houses? Because they invested all their money in the farms, took a loss on it, so then they were able to move that over toward the money from the housing, so they just washed one hand with the other. And now that they had an interest in the farms, they're buying the farmers out, and what are they doing? Building houses.
Of course.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
So when you go back to 2006, 7, and 8, the housing market busted, and it was financial ruin for a lot of people. The people who had the money tied up that should have paid the money back took the money and hid it in farms. And then when the farmers couldn't pay the investment back, they bought out the farmers, and now they're building more houses.
That is shady.
Crazy, right?
Yes.
It's true. It's real. And it's driving up the prices of farmland. It's causing farmers and people who lease to not be able to support their families and stay in business. So now more than ever is a time when you need a local farmer. You have to find a local farmer. And my friends, I am that farmer.
Yes, you are.
And I have a farm family with Alyssa. Alyssa was at the shop all week, slanging and banging, weren't you, baby?
Yeah, we're back to work, guys.
Ain't my fault. Go get a job.
Whoa, August is coming.
She's got a job.
Whoa. Yeah, she does. Meats, Morris Stanley Farms.
Yep.
But August is coming. We're going to talk about that in a little while, about how are you conforming to them? I don't want to give it away. We'll talk. 101 North Country Club Road, Suite 127, or go to morganicmeats.com. We're open till 5 p.m. today, and we got sales mammy. We got chicken. Buy a bag, get a bag half off. We got lamb 75% off. We got fire roasted goat. We got brisket, beef ribs, baby back ribs, all on the cooker. Victor and Julian out there slanging it. We got eggs on sale. We've got pork chops on sale. We got ribeyes. Buy four, get the fifth ribeye free.
That's crazy.
That is insane, right? Hooked on Finally's work for me. I rode the short bus every day. May is the national month of meat. And this is the first year ever we've decided to take that opportunity, and we're going to have an active sale every day of the week.
That's awesome.
Yes, and today's sale is crazy. Go to the shop with $400 in your pocket in cash.
No, $500.
Well, you get $500 worth of stuff. I'm not $100. Well, how about this? Exactly. Bring $500.
You only spend $4.
And I'm going to give you a $100 bill back. Just like I'm coming back after this break. More Stanley Farms. Wait. Flutterman Radio, Between the Ribs.
Getting you back Between the Ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing basketball? Get me on the court and I'm troubled. Last week messed around and got a triple-double. Freaking
yeah. Heather, our generation is going to be okay.
Ours is.
Because gangster rap raised us. Shout out to Michelangelo. Thank you for sending me that CD and them stickers. Hope you listen to the show.
He sent you a CD of what?
His dad did, of Tom McDonald and Jason Calhoun.
Oh, very nice.
Calhoun. Tom McDonald, Adam Calhoun. It's a very good CD. I love it. I listen to it quite regularly. That's one of the songs on there. We're going to be okay. Because gangster rap raised us. It's a pretty cool song. It's like our rappers were getting killed and going to prison, y'all. Your rappers wear dresses and take pills, y'all. The big difference between
sounds about right.
When you look at the gangster, and I'm not necessarily at 46 years old condoning the gangster rap lifestyle. Please understand, I'm 46 years old and I breathe bad. Really don't want to be in a street fight right now. But if I had to, I can't.
I mean, you lift half cows.
Oh, I can still get down.
Yeah.
I got hands, baby. Yeah. Matter of fact, I got asked to leave a meeting I was at on Sunday night.
What did you do?
They announced no firearms and or any other weapons in the building.
Oh, my goodness.
And the guy looked at me and goes, sir, you're going to have to take them guns outside. Welcome to the gun show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, was that where I was supposed to have the applause?
No.
Hold on.
No. Don't play with me. What happened about EZ song I had pulled up? How'd you miss that?
We did have the Ice Cube.
We'll talk during the break. You're fired.
I'm turning your mic off. Two can play this game. And I am at the control board.
What? Yeah, you win. Unless a girl doesn't handle that.
I don't think I can do that. I do not know what to do.
We've lost control of the show. Hey, all right, so from buying up land to government interference. Well, let me ask you all a question real quick. Let's ask a question. If you got an open mic time, I know it's Saturday, you're probably hanging out, tossing some cold ones back, whatever you're doing. Maybe you have organic meats, spending a bunch of money. We're going to the main story.
Okay.
Does anybody know the government's control, how far their reach is into big farming? And when I say big farming, I mean like farming on a scale of pricing, marketing, standard sets, volumes, yields.
Yeah, probably, and none of it seems fair. Sorry, go ahead.
I was saying probably a lot.
It's an insane amount. A lot of stuff gets overlooked because people don't realize, like, oh, farmers are the backbone of America. You know, there's a group of farmers that are just tried and true, the salt of the earth people. And all that's true. And even the great big farms, like, it's sad to announce that our partnership with Wayne Farms is going to come to an end pretty soon because Wayne Farms just got bought out by Sanders Farm, who is an umbrella underneath.
You mentioned them a lot.
Yeah. So Tim up at Wayne Farm up in Alabama, when we first started selling chicken because we couldn't keep up, we couldn't grow enough chicken. We'd grow some in our backyard, not kill them and take them to the farmer's market or kill them in the store. And remember that, Lisa? Yeah.
I remember walking in the garage to grab my bike, and he's got ducks and chickens up hanging in our garage. And he's got a knife ready. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Wait. But they were already dead at that point, right?
Yeah, he was skinning them.
Okay.
I was cleaning them
and
up.
And plucking them.
Okay.
Yeah, because
I can kill chickens more than goats. Swampfoot wants to know a good goat recipe, but...
Oh, I'll tell him. We'll sit him one later. So this was back, just for clarity, I don't kill chickens in the garage and bring them to the shop. Just for clarity.
No, that's but just for us.
this was back when people would meet me at the farmer's market and be like, hey, you know what, I get some chickens and some ducks? I'm like, yeah, I got some, I can hook you up. But I'm not allowed to bring them to the market and do this. And they're like, well, I don't care about all that. So if you call me and say, hey, I want 10 chickens, I'm allowed legally to take 10 chickens off my farm that you paid for, kill them and clean them, and then give them to you. In my garage, in my backyard, on my pickup truck, I do have...
Right.
Because they're not my chickens anymore, they're yours. You're just asking me to clean them for you. Now, if I take those same 10 chickens and kill them before anybody orders them, take them up to the store and put them in the display case, it's a $5,000 fine and up to 5 years in prison per incident. Because they're uninspected. USDA don't have their hand in it. Okay? Oh. Now, I will say this, and this is a game changer for us and Uncle Richard. Well, he's my...
Is it not the same for cows?
For every animal. For every animal.
Yeah, everyone.
So you can call me and be like, hey, Jonathan, that black cow I saw walking around your farm, I want to buy that black cow. Can you cut it up for me? Sure can. I'm allowed to take that thing to the barn, kill it, clean it. And I'd still do it in a sanitary manner.
Right.
I can kill it, clean it, hang it, pack it, and bring it to your house. Nobody's allowed to get involved because you bought a live animal from me and I butchered it for you as part of you buying it, okay? But if I take that same cow to the shop and I break it up into ribeyes, T-bones, porterhouses, London broils, all the stuff that the cow breaks up to, and put it out in retail and I sell it piece by piece, that cow has to go to the slaughterhouse, it has to be looked at and examined alive, USDA inspector has to stamp, then he has to watch it get killed and bled, and then they sample, they check the blood, they check the brain.
Every single cow?
So it's supposed to be every single cow, but I've been in the slaughterhouse enough to know that it's kind of like he'll pick like one out of every 20.
Okay. But, because if one's sick, then the other 20 probably are too.
Well, if one's sick, then he goes in because, all right, so the cows don't necessarily, in small operations, the cows aren't going out the same day they're killed. Because we don't gas our meat, we don't inject it anything to make it falsely age and break down. So we have a big cooler that I'm in the slaughterhouse that I'm not a partner in it as like an owner, but I'm in a joint ventureship with it where I have killing rights there. It's a long story if you don't understand what killing rights are. But you know a guy with killing rights. I have the right to kill. It's my right. So anyways, so our cows go in, they get marked as Morris Family Farms cows or Jonathan, whatever they put on the stamp. And then they go into a cooler on a rack, on a row that's mine. And there may be 10 other farmers with 10 other cows in there, right? So if the guy, here's the bad part about being in a co-op like that. If, let's say, your cow doesn't get picked for whatever reason. Now, he's there for all of them. So he visually sees them. And as he's walking around the facility, if he sees one sneezing, blowing snot, bad-looking eyes, you know, blowing stuff out the back end, he'll stop and check everything. But if everything comes in, they're all looking good, and nobody's hollering or screaming, everything's just normal, you know, come on, let's kill some cows. And then he'll randomly just walk up and be like, give me that head, give me that liver, give me that heart, give me that. And he takes it back to his little lab in that he has and his office, and he cuts open the liver and cuts everything up, and he does his examination. Because the USDA inspector's there, but there's also a licensed veterinarian there in the kill room. People don't understand what it takes to kill animals and get them to the market. It's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. So, yeah, let's say cow number 8 gets pulled and there's something wrong with it. They put a hold on the whole cooler. Nobody's cows go anywhere.
Because they got to go back and check all of them.
Because they got to go back now and check every cow, every head, they got to go check everything. And then you got to wait because now they send the lab results or the test off to Gainesville.
That can't take.
Takes
that,
3 to 7 days sometimes. So then you got to wait for that to come back before you can get your, they call it release the meat, the release of the meat.
And you're paying rent for your cows hanging there?
No. We pay as part of, my cows hang for 7 to 10 days anyway.
Okay.
So I don't want my cows back before 10 days.
Right. No, I know. You hang them, though. Don't you have a freezer that you hang them in, too?
Yeah, so I leave them at the facility for 10 days, and then I take them from there to my shop, and we normally hang them either another 5 to 10 days, and we start cutting them up for the case. And then some things we age 30 days, but that's a whole other story. So there's a broad spectrum that goes into all this. But up in Maine right now, and this is kind of big because the dairy industry is taking a beating. And people are getting stupider and stupider and stupider. I only drink organic milk. I only drink raw milk. Okay, great, fantastic. If you go all the way back to my great-grandma, she pasteurized all her milk. Now, she didn't chemical it, and she didn't cook it so hot that it lost the good and bad bacteria. But it all simmered on the back of the stove, and then she separated the cream. And so the milk got somewhat pasteurized, right? My grandma wasn't on the teat of the cow just raw dogging the milk, you know? But people think they're like, oh, you're a farmer? You drink straight from the cow udder?
No.
No, thank you.
I stopped nursing around 3.
Yeah, I don't. First of all, I'm too big to get underneath the cow. You know, can you see me on the ground? Come on, give me that milk.
Okay, that's weird.
Give me that.
Stop, Jonathan.
Give me that.
I can't.
Listen, say
I can't.
Say,
no,
give me,
no,
say,
I'm good.
Say, give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
The Maine farmers are taking a beating to the dairy industry. They're at a 15-year low. Do you want to hear something crazy?
Always. Yes.
In 2019, for a brief time, who was president in 2019? Trump. 2019, from 2017 to 2019, in a brief time, dairy industry rose more than $63 million.
Wow.
And then dropped $51 million in 2021.
Because everyone's lactose intolerant now. But, like, why?
Well, did you know...
Are they putting something in that casein to make everyone allergic to it?
That's no. What I'm saying.
It's stupid.
I think there has it's got to be something.
Everyone I know is lactose intolerant.
It's
everyone.
Mental. It's, they
it's not mental.
It's not.
Ice How many transgender milk. People did you know before TikTok?
No, stop. It has nothing,
it has nothing
to do
with them.
People are watching all these TikTok videos and all these YouTube videos, and we got one we're fixing to play, and now all of a sudden you eat too much ice cream, but instead of saying, man, I ate too much ice cream, I'm lactose intolerant. No, you ate a pint by yourself.
Okay, so something that has... Okay, when you have congestion and stuff, they say don't drink milk because that dairy increases the congestion.
I will agree that we are the only mammal...
Who drinks another mammal's milk.
And that drinks milk past the stage of infancy.
Oh, yeah, that too.
But there's so much good. Milk is so delicious. And especially when you go out there.
It's got calcium. It's a great way to get calcium.
Especially
baths,
when you ride by a dairy farm, and instead of the black and white cows, you got the brown ones. And you're like, heck yeah.
Chocolate milk.
Go in there and get me some fresh chocolate milk.
I ruined that for you. Sorry.
That's not how it works. I'm leaving. I quit.
Right.
I'm going
it's
to Sundays.
It's Heather and Alyssa now?
I'm going to Sundays. So the main, I'm going to wrap the story up fast. Main farmers are taking a loss. The Maine is one of the biggest dairy milk industries, especially for like the organic labels and the clean labels and all the stuff that you know, the farm to table labels. Even though they're all co-ops and it's a collaboration of multi-family farms, the 20 to 30 acre farmer that maybe has 15 to 20, 30 head of cows that he's milking to make an 11, they're gone. They don't exist anymore. Here's why. Organic farmers have set monthly prices in their contracts, okay, to allow them more predictability. Why do they need more predictability, you say?
For what?
For pricing. Because contrary to most beliefs, dairy farm milk prices are set by the federal formula, and it does not reflect the operating costs that the dairy farms have. What?
Can you dumb that down for me a little bit?
Okay, so the federal government got involved. The division, USDA and parts of IFC, FSIS and different divisions of the federal government got involved and said, hey, whoa, 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 big milk, you're going too far. You got a monopoly on the milk business. You got all the milk cows and you got all the milk and something's got to be done. So we're going to start regulating and setting prices. And this is where you can fluctuate at. You can be at a low here and a high here. And we're going to cap it.
Okay.
Wow, if they'd only do that with the housing market or maybe the used car market.
So saying like you can't.
So they tell the dairy farmers, yeah, based on everything that we as the federal government determine for today's pricing, mm-hmm. milk can only be this much. Now, I'm not talking about what you pay in the grocery store.
Got it.
Grocery store prices are not predicted or dictated by the federal government. The guy at the parlor milking the cows, they fill up a 10,000-gallon, 9,900-gallon semi with milk.
They can only sell it for so much.
The government says, in this season of marketing, you're capped here. You can't go any higher. And they're like,
it seems like the people could decide that for them. If they have to charge what it costs them and then a little extra so they make a profit, and if they're not selling it because people don't want to buy it at that price and they're finding it cheaper somewhere else, they don't need the government to set the price.
So most hot market items, which is farming,
right.
Now grains and stuff are different, but most hot market items, squash, zucchini, cucumbers, stuff like that, cattle market, pork market, they're called a hot market. They change sometimes instantaneously, sometimes by the minute, sometimes by the animal or by the box. The prices change. Supply and demand drives that. Supply and demand drives the hot market. Wait, we got too many cows at the auction today. Man, so normally let's say 500 cows come into the local auction in Lakeland. And they call today and say, man, we got 10,000 cows. Where all these cows show up at? Man, start running these cows. So cows that normally are $1.40, $1.50 a pound, that's live weight. So a cow weighs 1,000 pounds on the scale. He walks through the ring. People are bidding on them. That cow's going to go for about $1,400, all right, for the cow, alive. The guy's like, man, we got 10,000 cows back there. Normally we only have 500. What are we going to do? Start them at 60 cents. Start them at 60 cents. And the guy who brought just enough money to buy two cows, he's going home with five cows. Get these cows out of here. Because they can't do nothing with them. The auction ain't going to feed them and hold them. The auction is once a week. So supply and demand.
Well, what if the person who brought the cows decided not to bring so many?
You can.
There
is such thing called a no-sell. So if the guy that dropped off, let's say he dropped off 800 cows and he's sitting up there watching his cows and he's like, whoa, 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 why are the cows 60 cents? The national market is $1.40. And the guy's like, man, we got too many cows. We got to get rid of them. Well, no-sell my cows. So he has to pay a fee to the slaughterhouse, cost him money. And then he has to pay a reloading fee to go get the cows loaded back in his trailers.
Ooh, I'm glad you do this and not me.
So a lot of farmers will just take whatever they get because once you pay all that extra money, now you take the cows back. So now when you come back to the auction, they're all mad at you because you just wasted all their time and because the auction didn't make any money, all the commission they get on sales. So it's not a good idea to do a no-sell a whole bunch, right?
I'm just thinking, why don't they just bring less cows?
Because when the cows are ready, they're ready.
So they can't wait a week?
So there's a prime market on animals, just like in vegetables. You can't tell your green beans to stop growing because I can't pick you till next week. The green beans go from prime, ready, ripe, to rotten. Hang on. Cows go from what they call a number one cow. in between that, so there's calves, and then there's steers, feeder, what they call feeders, heifers, yearlings. There's a whole bunch of cattle, you know, categories. So if you, let's say your cow goes in between 250 and 350 pounds, and it's in there as the calves, and calves are bringing $2, but now that cow gets fed a couple more weeks, and it gets up to 405 pounds, now it goes into a yearling. Yearlings maybe only bringing $1.70. But 2 weeks ago, that cow would have brought $2.40 a pound. And you fed it less and kept it less and maintained it less, and you got more money for it.
Gotcha.
And then the cows get up over 1,000 pounds, and if they're too old, they go to grinders. And grinders get down to like 60 cent a cow, 60 cent a pound, I mean. So it's not that easy. And that's what happened during COVID when they were telling farmers to quit bringing animals to the slaughterhouse. The farmers were having to make a decision. All right, do we kill all the ones that are ready right now? Or do we go kill all the babies? We gotta stop the life cycle somewhere.
What'd they decide?
Some farmers did both. Some farmers killed this week's crop that was ready, waited a week, and then killed another week. You know, and then they all got mad when they found out it was all a scam.
Yeah.
But the federal government sets the cap for milk. So their involvement. So if you look at this, back in 2019, they were up $63 million. 2021, down $51 million. Change of administration, change of rules, change of legacy, change of policies, change of restrictions. We got to get back to a president or an administration that will turn us loose. Right? They used to yell that on the football field. Turn me loose, coach. Turn me loose. I used to say that to my daddy. Turn me loose, daddy. I got to go. Turn me loose. Oh, Florida Man Radio. Turn me loose. We'll be right back.
Armor. Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
About noon, just thought that I had to be in Compton soon. I gotta get drunk before the day begins, before my mother starts about my friends. About to go and damn near went blind. Young at the pad throwing up gang signs. Ran in the house and grabbed my clip with the Mac-10 on the side of my hip. Bailed outside and pointed my weapon. Just as I thought, the fools kept stepping. Jumped in the fold, hit the juice on my ride. I got front and back. Side to side. Then I let the Alpine play.
Because the boys in the hood are always hard. I'm talking you smack and we'll pull your card. All right. Straight gangster. Ron DeSantis is my... Oh, wait. I'm not allowed to say that word anymore. It's offensive.
Yeah.
But only when white people say it. Black people can say it whenever they want to.
You're just a cracker.
I'm just a cracker. Cracker with a cracker mouth.
Did you want to do that video? The cow video? Wait.
Oh, we missed that. We're all in here shamming it up.
I have it ready.
Yeah, play. Okay. Hey, all right, y'all listen to this. So here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is our federal government oversight. We need to get rid of them. It's not really a motto. We the people. The people have spoken. Have we? Or are we whispering?
We're whispering.
We got the federal government doing stupid stuff. We got people who want to ban the Twitter, X thing, Elon Musk. Oh, you can't talk about certain things, just hurts my feelings. But you got fools like this with a TikTok page who think they're an influencer, has no fact whatsoever about what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And she gets side-eyed by a farmer. Play this moron.
Okay. So she is all dressed up, looks really cute, and she's, you know, she's putting on a presentation.
Yes.
Okay, so here we go.
Is the meat industry.
You're not wrong. These cows do eventually become food.
I think worse than the meat industry because it's prolonged suffering.
So she's saying the dairy industry is
all right,
worse.
Pause right there.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to tell them. All right, tell them what
she's saying. The dairy industry is worse than the cow industry. The meat industry. So this guy comes in, and actually this is on his TikTok because he's the one that's clipping it.
Okay, all right.
So he's looking, he's listening to her, and then he looks over at his cow. And
the cow, by the way, is underneath what we call a roller scrubber, getting his back scratched.
It looks really nice. Like, I'd love to have my back scratched with that.
That's the sound of the back of the cow. Imagine a big brush with soft bristles. And imagine it hooked to a machine that rotated. And the cow stands underneath there, and the cow rubs its neck and looks. And the cow...
It's like a buffer or something for a car when you go through the car wash.
Oh, yeah. But not aggressive. Now, if a cow could speak, The eyes of that cow are like, dude, why are you bothering me? I'm getting back scratched right now.
He's like, oh, he's stretching. He's like, right there, right there.
You got to tell people how they're going to watch this. All right, continue.
You can go. It's a Facebook video, and it says, I've never seen such suffering. Oh. Poor cow. Yeah, that is not suffering.
How's that prolonged suffering? 722.
He is, like, rubbing up against
That's
the thing.
What I thought.
That's the cow's number, by the way. 722 ear tag.
And now they're laying down. Just
Mobiline is out.
Yeah, the one he called Mobiline was taking a nap, not cold out.
More in that prolonged suffering.
Oh, by the way, on dirt. She was in dirt, sleeping on dirt, not concrete.
Yeah, like
just
sand.
Just hanging out.
We'll leave you alone.
These cows are impregnated over and over and over again.
Somebody tell me again how this procedure is violent.
Pause for a second. Cows get impregnated. Now, I'm not knocking natural farms. Please don't take this the wrong way. But when a bull mounts a cow, sometimes it can be nasty to watch, aggressive. And at times, the bull is so nasty and aggressive, he can break his junk.
Same with ducks, koalas, and apparently crested geckos, too.
And apparently the Morris Family Farm. Yeah.
I don't need to hear that.
Yeah, that's... No, thank you.
And then thrown into the same positions as the moms, and then...
Wait, hold on. Pause. Thrown into the same position. So cats are born, thrown into the same position as their mom. Right?
They start pumping out baby calves from calves immediately.
Just sounds like that, the life cycle.
So, so no facts, first of all. I continue.
I watched as they showed like the insemination or whatnot, and that didn't look awful.
Okay, so here's the thing. All right, so first of all...
Did she put her hand in there?
Yes.
She's
so
check everything.
So a veterinarian has Listen, real quick. The veterinarian has on a glove that goes from her hand to her shoulder.
To her shoulder.
Okay, now... She has it like, you know, lubricated up. In her hand is what you would call maybe like a turkey baster, but it's a little syringe that puts bull semen into the uterus of the cow. All right, where the cow gets sprayed at, right? Where the yeah. where the magic
the
happens.
Cervix.
Yeah, I got it. Everybody right. understands.
Everyone's on the same
now,
page.
Now, cows give birth to baby cows.
Correct.
Yes. So a calf comes out of a cow's V word.
Uterus.
Yeah. No, well, it has to exit the body.
Through the vagina.
We're allowed to say vagina?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a body part.
Wait a second. Everybody pause for 8 seconds. Vagina, 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 vagina,
okay.
vagina.
You good?
I'm good, Dad.
All right.
Kid has a kid.
Okay. I didn't realize I could say vagina on the radio.
Vagina. What's the milk?
All right. Our cows do get milked a lot. There's one getting milked. There's one getting milked. You know who milks them? I don't. These do.
All right. Pause.
You know who?
Pause. In 1921, in Wyandotte, Ohio, my grandpa's farm, the cows, if you were not at the parlor in the barn at 3:30 in the morning, at 3:31, they were hollering and screaming, they'd wake the whole county up. You milk cows at 3:30 in the morning and 3:30 in the afternoon, 7 days a week. The cows did not wait for you to milk. They'd start pump.
Right, because engorgement hurts.
So the cows, dairy cows are made to make milk. That's the way God made them.
Right.
All right.
And they make more milk than any other
milk.
Cows because that's what
now,
they're supposed to do.
In 2024, they have machines that have automated sensor controls. So the cow walks up onto a platform, and when the platform senses the weight of the cow,
Medela, take note.
The harness that's going to milk the cow mm-hmm. raises up. It washes and sanitizes completely the uterus, the sac, everything around.
Well, not
around.
The uterus.
I'm sorry. Yeah. The udders.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say uterus. The udder. It washes and cleans the udders, the teats, everything around it. Sucks all that out. And then it switches itself, right? And then it milks the cow. When the cow's done and takes a step, it senses her weight distribution movement. It releases. She walks back out.
And she's like, oh, thank God that's out.
Now, you know what the cool thing about 2024 is? That cow can take about 97 steps and be like, man, I'm not done. And she can turn back around and get back on the machine. Oh. It's free choice milking.
Oh, wait. That is amazing.
Yeah, there's no inhumanity. Now, don't get me wrong. There's still old-fashioned farms. I know a guy in Geneva. I know a lady in Samsula.
Who pump into a bucket.
They still have the machine, but it goes from a hose into a bucket, right? But this is one of the most high-tech farms, and there's not concrete anywhere. There's no cages. There's no pens. All right, continue with this idiot.
It looks nice.
Continue with the idiot lady.
Who chooses when they get milk? I don't. They do. Here's Katie. She just got done getting milk. She walked up on her own. Who'd have thought?
Have their babies taken and then killed.
So, fun fact. The best way to keep getting cheese out of a cow is to keep the cow alive. Small tidbit.
Cheese is addicting. It lights up the same receptors in your brain as crack cocaine. That is how addicting cheese is.
Call me crazy.
Okay, I kind of agree, being that I love cheese, but I've never tried crack cocaine, so I guess I can't really speak about it.
Am I allowed to say, would you S&D behind a dumpster for cheese? Am I allowed to ask that question?
No, I mean, I guess you can ask, but no, I wouldn't do that.
Forgive me for being rude, but the guy starts talking, and we'll let it play, but she compares eating cheese to smoking crack in her pretty little dress and outfit on her red screen that she has behind her and her fake microphone. Go ahead.
Crazy. I think cheese is probably a little healthier than cocaine. I'm going out on a limb. What I think is really amazing about dairy cows is that they are one of the few very multi-purpose animals. So throughout their life, they're going to recycle byproducts like whey, and we can use things like wheat hulls, oat hulls from things that are making, you know, bread and other, honestly, vegan products. We can reuse these byproducts for these cows that come from human food, and we can produce cheese, we can produce milk, we can produce ice cream, we can produce all sorts of powdered milk, which can be used to get shipped overseas to places where there might be food deserts.
Animals. Wow. Okay, so I've come to a conclusion as we take this break.
Cows are so good. They make ice
cream. Cows are awesome. God made animals before he made man. Yeah. Florida Man Radio. We'll be right back.
Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
Truck gang. 2020. Everybody loves a truck. Your mama really loves my truck. Big truck man, when I see another truck, I make a T with my hand. Cause if you're riding like me, I wanna show you I care. Unless you drive a Ridge Line, then you can suck on a pair. Cause if you drive a real truck, man, you're alright with me. But if you squat your truck, I bet you squat when you pee. So if you're out and about and you like what you see, throw your hands in the air in the shape of a T.
Truck gang, we don't drive no car, man.
Throw them cheese up in the air
if you reppin' truck gang.
Oh my gosh, you guys are so funny.
Endorsed by boyfriend of ours. Ron DeSantis is the man. He's straight gangster. I bet he drives a four-wheel drive truck. He just signed a bill, all right, banning global elitist lab-grown meat in the state of Florida. Florida's fighting back. And Alabama, Arizona, Tennessee are underway to join the fight. But let me be the first to just say, Florida, 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 we're number one, we're number one.
Neener, neener.
If you ain't from... Georgia, why aren't you on the list? Oh, I forgot, because of Atlanta. You daggum liberals. I love you guys in Georgia. Speaking of Georgia, well, we got some open mics. And then I have an announcement, Alyssa.
Announcement.
I have a location. I will return to Fort Walton and then to Atlanta in the same weekend.
Wow.
But first, let's do some open mics. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. You had me typing a bunch of stuff.
It's like that old Chris Rock joke. He's like, oh, we got so much food here. He's like, ain't nobody in Zimbabwe got a lactose intolerance, you know.
No, they don't.
Of course he says it better than I do, but you get the point.
I had never thought about that.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, Helen and Boynton. I love that I follow the guy that you guys just played that clip from with the cows that are suffering. Air quotes. That's so funny. I love him. He's so funny, and he's a good farmer, too. You can just tell by he's just a true guy, just like you, Jonathan. Be-do-be-do. Love to you guys.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for chipping in.
I like that guy's accent.
Thanks for open micing in. Oh, the farmer? Yeah, that's awesome. Now, it's a cool video. I don't know how to tell people it's a good follow. Kind of weird for me to say that about a man. He's a good follow. But however you do TikTok stuff, follow the guy on Facebook. It's a pretty cool thing. I got to get a channel. Not TikTok.
But yeah, you just need to. You got too much going on.
I think I'm gonna break it through the Instagram.
Instagram.
I'm gonna get on the Insta. Ron DeSantis just signed a bill that actually punishes the sale of cultivated meat in Florida. This is the first national. Thank you, school teacher.
You're welcome.
This is the first. Alyssa will be down on the show now to correct my grammar.
Can we keep her?
Grammar.
Yeah. Yes.
We can keep her?
Man.
In your pronunciation.
We, are you willing to keep up with this? Well, you were raised by me, so yeah, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so I'll say it like I normally say.
I speak fluent Jonathan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can't believe Alex last week, 2 weeks ago. Is he drunk? No, I'm not drunk. It's how I talk.
She said that?
She texted
Sam. Is he drunk?
Oh, that's so funny.
I don't drink no more. Or no less. Nah, just bad. No more. This is the first national law that's actually been signed. A lot of people talk about it. Ron DeSantis be about it. All right?
Is.
Gangsta.
Excuse me?
Is, not be.
Not be about it.
Well, I got two school teachers in here?
Well, she wasn't doing her job.
Whoa, got caught out by the chief. This prohibits anyone from selling or distributing lab-grown meat in the state of Florida.
Good.
I think it's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Well done. Where's my applaud button?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Hang on.
He signed it in the wind.
Oh, here, we'll clap.
Thank you.
DeSantis said that Bill SB 1084, it includes a series of changes related to the State Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. It will protect, you ready, folks?
Ready.
While the federal government is setting caps and bans on dairy farmers and putting the dairy main industry almost obsolete, our governor, who if he would have just waited and done the right thing, would be the best, probably one of the best presidents we've had. Now, don't crucify me for saying that. I know the man's got a lot of issues. I get it. Trust me. I'm not saying
we all do.
We all have issues. But he jumped the gun. And I'm still mad that he lied to me. I'm not going to tell you. I'll never go back on my stance. Ron DeSantis looked in the camera. He told old suntanned up Charlie Crist, I promised him the Floridians, I'm going to do the whole term. And halfway through, he ran for presidency. Now he's back. I'm still kind of upset at that because he never apologized to me. But I'm learning to let go and let God. We serve a righteous and a just God. And when people wrong you, if you forgive them, you actually make it worse for them. Because imagine the worst thing you could do to somebody that wrongs you. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Now imagine you release them to God. God says, I'm justice and I'm right. I got you, dog. I'm going to put straight God gangster stuff on them. God says, I am the GG. The God gangster.
God gangster.
The gangster of gods. With all due respect, Mr. Jesus. He knows I'll give him honor. Save our beef. Save our. What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
You haven't heard Mr. Jesus in a while?
Known Mr. Jesus?
I haven't had to say it in a while. But I got it back. Me and Mr. Jesus. Ron DeSantis said we will protect the state's cattle industry against the ideological, ideological agenda that wants to finger agriculture as the problem. You keep your dirty fingers and your ideologists away from the cattle farmers in America. Save our beef, save our beef, save our beef. That was at the Hardy County Cattlemen's Arena in the great city of Wachula.
Wachula.
And to everybody listening to Wachula, happy Cinco de Mayo. Because nobody in Wachula speaks English.
It's not Cinco de Mayo yet.
But
May the 4th be with you.
There you go.
Okay, so white people, get out of the way. Essay is headed that way. Fato loco, don't you know I'm crazy? Essay, insane in the brain. Oh, we should come back with Cypress Hill. A little insane in the brain.
My 5-year-old sings that song.
Crazy, insane, and I got no brain. the IRS. So Ron DeSantis. Okay, so the federal government is killing the main dairy farmers. Ron DeSantis says, "Save our beef, saving the cattle farmers in America," and the IRS, is here to face the podium, where they made it to the podium to face America to say, don't worry, poor people in middle class, we're not coming after y'all. The $250 million that the IRS got in their budget increase to offset inflation. What in God's green earth? Can you help me with that? I know you're a first grade teacher. But
when the people who control the money, the IRS, and they control the collection of the money, get a $250 million pay raise to offset inflation, to go after the people who pay the money to the government, isn't there something wrong with that?
I think so.
You got to have a better answer than that, Alyssa. You
can't
be
on
the show.
First grade math.
First grade math. They say that we are only going after people who make more than $10 million a year. We will not. Well, this is how they word it. You ready? There will be no new wave of audits coming for the middle and low income individuals and the moms and pops businesses. That is not our plan, says spokesperson for the IRS. Whew. Hang on to your britches, folks. Hang on to your britches. Where are we going from here? I wanted to jump to, do you have your own, okay, we can't say that G word. We can say gender, though.
Gender? Yeah, you can say gender. What G
oh,
word?
Oh, no, no, no. I want to go.
A G word in the seven deadly words.
The G-A-Y word? I can't say that anymore, can I?
You can.
Why can't
oh,
you say that?
Do you have your gay song ready? Or are we going to do that?
Yeah.
You know what? Hold on. I want to get my timing right. I'm all discombobulated.
You've been jumping around.
Because I want that interview with the purple hair freak when we get back from the next break.
So good.
So let's go from Florida to Tennessee real quick. Let's change lanes for a second.
Okay.
Tennessee legislator just passed a bill allowing teachers. I've got Alyssa Morris in the room. I just jumped to story number 9, Heather.
Okay.
I went from 5 to 9. I'm not throwing the other stories away. I'm just
throwing ones you've been through.
Oh.
Okay. Been there, done
9.
That.
Tennessee legislator just passed a bill allowing teachers to carry concealed guns in the classroom. How do you feel about that, Alyssa? Going into what you've seen this last year interning and teaching at a first grade level, because Alyssa, for the record, is ashamed of this, but she has been bullied multiple times as an adult.
By children?
By children.
By first graders?
By first graders. It's kind of sad.
Narcissistic barbarians.
But it's okay. They're pretty okay. Funny.
But Alyssa don't play the radio. Alyssa runs her classroom.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I'm kind of mixed signals about it. I think it is a good thing, 100%, because of all the shootings that have been happening, especially the ones where someone will pull a fire alarm and all these kids will go out and they'll start shooting. It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you fill us in on that real quick?
Yes.
Do you have the story in front of you?
I do. But backstory. Now, as every school, they have their fire drill drills. They have code red drills, code yellow, whatever. So now fire drills, the kids, as the alarm is blaring, the lights are blaring, saying, get out of the building, get out of the building. This is a fire drill. The kids are not allowed to leave. No one's allowed to leave. You have to line up and you have to stay there, listening to these loud sounds, and the kids are freaking out because they're not allowed to know when it's a drill because they have to be able to get out safely. And then we have to wait until the principal comes on the intercom and say, this is a fire drill, get out, for their safety. Now, when we get out of the classroom, we have to go up against the fence, hands on the fence, face out. God forbid there's someone on the campus with a gun. There's not a bunch of kids running around.
It's like shooting ducks in a barrel.
Yes. And that's happened before, where some guy just pulled the fire alarm and he just starts free shooting all the kids. High school, middle school, elementary school, all of them. So I think, and now they have to go, I'll look at what training they have to do, but I think if there's one bad guy with a gun, there needs to be a good guy with a gun. Because guns don't kill people.
Say that again. Come on. Keep it. Don't look.
Guns don't kill people. People kill people. So if you had someone there trained with a gun, not even just a police officer on that campus, other teachers, I think it would be a good thing. Just to save the kids because of how this world is going.
Yes. We were sitting around at the supper table the other night eating. There was a bunch of us there. Sam and I were cross-talking. And all of us were cross-talking. And concealed weapons came up. And Sam, I like Sam Bone a lot. Sam and I share a lot of same beliefs.
And she was the girl who was on here with us last week.
Yes. She's been a lifetime friend of Alyssa's.
Okay.
Very, very, very conceited. She has to look at every mirror
she's
passes.
She's not conceited.
Conceited is a bad word. She just wants to make sure she looks proper. Yes. So every mirror she passes, she looks at, she glances.
Okay, I was just making sure who that was.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure you knew who she was.
We like her.
We share a lot of the same opinions. And one of them is we need open carry laws. And I know they're talking about it, and I know they're working on it, and I don't know all the details. But we had the conversation at the table as we were eating supper. Imagine you get a bad guy. He's got a gun. His gun is out. right?
And not have anything to protect yourself.
No, hang on. He got his gun out. Continue. He walks into a store, and there's three people in there with concealed weapons. He doesn't know they have concealed weapons, so he enters the store beginning to rob it. Right? Can he sue you for entrapment when you pull your gun out and shoot him?
No.
Because he'll be like, come on, dog. I didn't know y'all had guns.
No.
I didn't know y'all had guns.
They're not just handing out the...
I'm being facetious. Okay. He walks in and be like, I didn't know anybody had guns. Everybody's got guns. I'm not the only one with a gun. Right? Mm-hmm. So now his life could get taken, which it should get taken, for trying to rob the place. I'm not siding with the bad guy. I'm being facetious here. Right? Now imagine that, because I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I was in a county, Open Carry County, once. Right? And a guy was casing the place, and the guy walked out with a 12-pack of beer and a pistol on the side. And the dude looked at him. They made eye contact. Dude looked at the pistol, went, got in his Cadillac, and drove away. And then the guy with the beer looked at me, because I was staying there, because I knew the guy was fixing to rob the place. So I was sitting in my truck waiting to figure out, right, do I need to get out now? Do I wait? Do I say something? And the guy was kind of robbed the place. He had a pistol in his pocket. And when he saw the guy with an open carry sidearm, he made eye contact with him, and he left, because most bad guys are also cowards. Now, there are a few crazies that are just killers, but most bad guys are not going to take something they got to fight for. That's why it's called a robbery. They're taking something. They're taking it. They don't want you home. They right. want to break in when you're not there. They bring it to your car at night. They want to rob a place where there's a little old lady working, an old guy working, that there's nobody that can fight them. They just go in. They show a bunch of force. They holler and scream, show their gun, and they run out with the money. Right? So open carry, I think, is great. Concealed carry in the classroom, I think, is fantastic, because you don't want the distraction. Imagine teaching math class, and every time you turn around, everybody's looking at your pistol grip.
Oh, I don't think the kids should not even know that you have a gun in your classroom. But to be able to have a gun under the bill, a worker who wants to carry a handgun would need to have a handgun carry permit and a written authorization from the school's principal and the local law enforcement. They also need to clear a background check and undergo 40 hours of handgun training. They could not carry guns at school events in stadiums, gymnasiums, or auditoriums. So it's only in the classroom under the principal's knowledge.
I have no problem with that. They're not just handing out concealed carry licenses. Like you said, they had to have all these people sign off. They have to have all this training. They're not just going to willy-nilly leave their gun on a desk where a child can get it. These people are trained. They didn't go into it light-minded.
And again, God forbid something happens, what am I going to do with 18 6-year-olds
that are
if a man comes
floor?
Into a thing? We can only hide in a corner so much, or hide in the bathroom before he comes in or shoots the door down.
Right.
What am I going to do? You put books in front of them, but that's not going to do anything.
Right.
But if I
that's
have,
what
if,
they suggest.
If I have,
what if they're aiming for the heads?
If I have a gun on me, I can protect my 18 kids, because they're not just 18 kids. I know they're my 18 kids.
They are.
That's my job as a teacher to protect them. So.
Well, it was to educate them, but
educate
now we're
them
in a time
and now
where
protect
it's
them.
Like protecting them.
No,
right.
Part of education is protection. You're training them. You're teaching them. You're guiding them. You're protecting them. You're disciplining them, because. There is such thing as protection when you got student A picking on student B, and as the teacher, you can't allow that behavior in the classroom, so you stop it. So even as you're correcting student A, you are protecting student B, and you are saving the environment of the classroom. Yeah. Now, there's a couple things that were brought up. One, and I think anybody who is against something is going to go as far as they can to prove their point. Well, what if one of the kids is your own kid? Because you just said they're not just 18 kids, they're your 18 kids.
Yeah.
Well, what if you had to protect 17 because number 18 is the one with the gun? You going to shoot him and kill him?
I would probably have to.
Well, you're my seed. No, you're mine, so I know you will.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people and this is what a lot of people are saying, well, you're going to hesitate, and in that hesitation, the kid's going to kill you, and now he's got two guns. Yeah. Right? So I don't buy into that. I don't buy into that, because I think as a teacher, it's one of those things you're called to do.
Yeah.
You ask 99% of teachers, they don't do it for the money. They don't do it for anything else. They do it because they love the kids. They want to help the kids. And most of them don't retire. How many? Oh, you got some older
people?
Some
old ladies up there. We love them.
They may be listening to the show. Florida Man Ready, when we get back, I want to wrap this up, because they're yelling, the blood will be on your hands. I do have one problem with this bill. I have one, and it's an easy fix. Florida Man Radio, we'll be right back.
Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
Frying pan. like the son of Sam. Oh, sweet Jesus. All right. So really, 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 really fast, only because I have experience with this. And we spent, oh my gosh, I can't remember how long, 90 days, 6 months. No, it wasn't that long. But we spent a lot of time before we ever fired around on the range when I was doing search stuff on weapon retention and how not to lose your weapon. The only problem I have with the Tennessee legislation bill is 40 hours a year is garbage. It's nothing. Most people who do 40 hours of in-service training, they call it, have already have had extensive range knowledge, extensive range experience. They've done all the stuff to get their license or certification as law enforcement. They've been through boot camp in the military, or they've been through ranger school, or they've been through hell stuff. They've done some type of training. And the 40 hours is more just a bunch of BS. They're drinking coffee, hanging out, and they're seeing who can shoot the best on the range. It's not really so. So I feel like there has to be money in the budget, or the teacher has to be willing to go outside of her 40, 50-hour week that she's already doing, probably 60-hour week. I'm probably putting in a lot of extra hours, to get extra training. Because I don't care what you see on the movies and what you see on TV and what you see in videos. When you have to draw down on another human being and squeeze that trigger, unless you've done it, you don't get to talk about it, because it's different. Oh, I can shoot a deer and I can hit a buck and I knock a squirrel out of a tree. That's fantastic. You can't hear their heartbeat right before you pull that trigger, because it's just something magically about the other heart you're fixing to stop. It's not magical, but that was the only word I had. There's just something about it. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go into it any further. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. And you won't understand. I would never, ever, 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 ever want a teacher in that position situation, because if she's not or he is not extensively trained on how to take a life and how to, one, keep your weapon, and then what to do after you fire the shots, because you don't always hit them. You don't always, you know, there's a lot of fear factor, pucker factor, fight or flight that takes place that they don't talk about, and you don't learn until you get the experience. And I feel like, I really do. Okay, I've been in places before where I've seen three people over get shot. Because the person that fired never fired before, other than a nice, still, calm range morning at 7:45 in the morning.
So you need some shock value into your training.
They need some, yes. No, listen, they need.
You're at the shooting range and someone comes up behind you. Boo.
Well, no. Oh, you're right, but yeah, you have to be careful when you're training. You don't accidentally kill somebody. But
that too.
There's two different scenarios when you're like, all right, we're gonna go down the range and you're gonna tuck and roll and the gun's gonna. And there's a whole different scenario from that and the door of the classroom gets kicked in and homeboy got a sawed-off shotgun. And now you have to stay calm, because do you understand how heavy a firearm gets when you're nervous and you immediately start sweating, and you go from, all right, class, the common denominator of 42 is, boom, get on the ground, or ch-ch-ch. I used to clear prison wards, right, with the racking of a shotgun. We used to get called, hey, quad, whatever's on, is rioting, or they flushed all the toilets, and the second tier is flooding.
Wait, if they all flush the toilets at the same time?
No, don't, because I know the guys up at Coleman are less than.
Let me know how that works out.
I've been on both sides. So yeah, love me or hate me, stab me in the middle of the night, whatever. All right?
But he's ready.
But you, and even the hardened inmates can tell you, they don't want to get shot.
Nobody wants to get shot.
They're riots that are riots, and I don't want to sidetrack. But you get a bunch of guys hollering and screaming and this and that, and you walk in there with a dog. Or you go in there and rack a shotgun with five guys on a search team, and that place gets quiet quick. Okay?
I'm gonna fact check you. I'm gonna ask my prison buddies.
Yeah, ask that dude that wants to fight a lion.
Oh, I'm gonna ask other ones too.
All right.
How do they break up fights?
So what I'm getting at is, if the teacher does not have extensive real life training, maybe right along with the SWAT team. Right, I'm just throwing stuff out there, because if you've never seen someone get shot, you've never seen a bullet enter someone's body, you've never watched that body respond, whatever the scenario, What if he hits you first?
I'm a goner.
What if the door comes open and his first shot is at you and it necks you and it hits you in the shoulder, your shooting shoulder? Are you still going to stay calm, grab your firearm, and discharge it properly to take his life? Or are you going to panic? He's going to stand over you as you beg for your life and kill you and then take your firearm. There's a lot that they cannot teach you in 40 hours a year. And that's my only problem. They've got to get this training right. If they don't get it right, the teacher is a liability. Period. That's all I got to say. But but I believe our teachers should be able to protect themselves in the day and age we live in. Sanford restaurant where 10 people got shot didn't have the proper permits. 10 people got shot and the county's trying to figure out what they're going to do with this place. Of course, they have no comment. The restaurant Cabana Live has no comment on it. They operate inside the Seminole County Port under the Port Authority. So their lease has been reneged after this. I had no idea this was going on. Alyssa, did you go to this party?
No.
So down in Seminole County, back south of Sanford, they had a party the other night. The Nobody Leaves Sober pool party.
That's a thing? Nobody leaves sober?
I'm glad you didn't go either.
I'm hoping nobody was on the road.
Nobody Leaves Sober pool party. Sheriff Lima said, the permit would not have stopped the shooting, but it would at least let us know the party was going on, and we could have had deputies in the area, and maybe it would have deterred the shooting.
But it was a bar, right? Like they're allowed to have alcohol anyways in a party.
So they basically were serving they were serving minors.
Hang on, listen.
So the party was not permitted. They're
nobody's
building
permitted to serve minors.
Well, no, but they're building their Cabana Live is not permitted to have these overnight all night parties they have anyway.
Oh. So it's overnight?
Is it 2 or 3 o'clock
cutoff
time? 2 a.m. is cutoff time for bars?
That's not overnight, though. That's so just this the is end not, of the night, right?
All right, so let's see here. On Tuesday, the Port of Sanford issued a notice of default on the lease to Marina's LLC, who is the master tenant, and they said the marina operator has advised the sheriff's department in the county that these late night events will no longer take place. And from now on, that restaurant and bar will operate as the family-friendly establishment it's supposed to be under appropriate marina operational law. So I don't know what's allowed in a marina. I mean, you can't get on a boat and go out and get drunk. Game warden will pull you over, Florida Fish Game. Well,
they should.
They'll pull you over and you can get a DUI on a boat. So I don't know how drunk you can get at a marina party. And I didn't know, did the marinas have swimming pools? Was marina restaurants have swimming pools?
There was a swimming pool right in the middle of this this bar.
Where is this place at? Why haven't I been there? I don't want to get drunk.
It doesn't have a jacuzzi.
It don't have a hot tub?
No.
I ain't going.
See? That's why we didn't tell you about it.
You ain't got no hot tub. Jonathan Morris ain't going.
Nope.
Speaking of hot tubs, I'll be in Fort Walton Beach on the 25th of May. Listen, man, these guys are stand-up guys. I'm not supposed to say one thing. I'll say another thing.
Say the thing you're not supposed to say.
I can't.
Oh, okay.
So I want my event getting canceled.
Oh.
But we were at Beach Weekend last time. It was a blast. This time, we're going to be at Stubby's Market on the island. So I don't have the details worked out yet. I don't know if I'll be inside or if I'll be outside under a tent, kind of in the grass. It's right there on Santa Rosa. It's a really cool place. There's a miniature golf place next to it, I believe. I believe that's the one. I get them mixed up. One time I accidentally talked bad about the place, and Scooter had to correct me because I got them mixed up. There was another place we went that wouldn't serve our family, and they made us sit over in the corner or something stupid. They wouldn't even give us an extra roll of paper towels. I mean, it was terrible. But we also went to a place that was fantastic, and then we went to another place that was fantastic. So I'm 99.99% sure the two fantastic places were Stubby's, and then the other one I'm not going to mention because right now we're talking about Stubby's. And Scooter is an awesome dude. His brother is awesome. So Stubby's Seafood Shanty, if I said it right, Shanty. I don't have the exact address, but if you're from that area, you'll know where it's at. I'll get all the details out in a couple of weeks. But on Santa Rosa Boulevard, we're going to be down there on May 25th. Sorry, Heather, we don't have that machine yet, so you're going to have to be here to produce the show. But I'll be up there. If you can find somebody else to sit in the chair.
Yeah, somebody's going to... Well, I've got baseball
also
down south.
On the 25th.
The 25th.
So somebody else will be here.
Yes.
All right. Well, you can't come anyway. But get this. Doubleheader weekend for Daddy. I'll be in Santa Rosa, Fort Walton Beach on the 25th. Immediately after the show, driving to Atlanta. I'm going to meet my people out by Six Flags. I'm going to hit Atlanta Mall. My people over on 201. So everybody, exit 205. So everybody start getting your orders in. Text 407-402-5686 or go to organicmeats.com.
What?
Florida Man Radio. I'm Jonathan Morris. We'll be right back. We have an interview and a question. The question of the day. We'll be right back.
Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
In your thing, gang, gang, big and rich. They are the men's, the man's, the moon's, the men's is this. We used to play that song in the daytime show, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My wife took that challenge.
Okay.
Save a horse.
You got a kid here.
I was able to, we were able to give our horse away because we don't need it anymore.
All right.
Nice.
We're going to get to this. The University of North Carolina. Hoo, hoo, America. But first, I have an interview. Well, I have a question. Steve Harvey answers it, and then I want Alyssa's take as Alyssa prepares for her engagement in the corporate world of teaching.
The thing is, we're millennials, and we like to break the boundaries now with, like, piercings and tattoos and, like, hairstyles. So do you think I should conform to corporate America, or they should conform to me and my millennial self? And, like, and give us a hair color and the tattoos and the piercings. Like,
your question to me is, do I think that you should form to corporate America or should corporate America conform to you?
Yeah.
Okay, you ain't finna be working.
That's good. That's good enough.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Nice job at 7-Eleven waiting for her.
That's right.
Nice job at McDonald's.
Yeah, you can go to work at 7-Eleven, go to work at McDonald's. Her. You can go to that place in the mall, that weird place in the mall. What's that weird place in the mall?
Spencer's?
Yeah.
Oh. Hot Topic, Journeys,
all those.
Should, this is what she says. She, and what, I've heard a lot of interviews, excuse me, with these millennials. Why do they talk like that? Because, listen, you don't talk like that. Nobody in your circle talks like that.
I was raised right.
Is that what it is? It's just lack of parity?
Lack of parenting and the entitlement. I have a lot of friends who are entitled or think they're entitled. That they get anything they want and they want. And I humble them real quick. I'm like, no, thank you. I'm like, that's not it.
Now, you are a beacon for your generation. You are. I am so proud as a father.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, this girl, by the way, has blue hair and a couple piercings, and she...
Can
when
we,
she
like,
talks.
Lay off the hair and the piercings? No. Everybody gets them. Why is that a big deal?
I mean, I well, because I've got blue about hair. Killed him like, when I got it, but...
All right, because some jobs don't allow hair color. It's in the hiring agreement. Some jobs don't allow hair color, and even if it's a natural yellow, blonde, blue, you have to have normal hair. Some jobs don't allow piercing, especially in the face. A lot of jobs definitely don't allow face piercing. I mean, face tattoos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's just... That's so, a bad, drunk decision.
So here's my thing. If it was just you didn't have the total package, you had the blue hair, you had the piercing, you had the tattoo, and you talk, and this is what the killer is for my generation. Stop announcing your presence. You don't have to call up to a job and announce that you're a millennial, you're a trendsetter, you're a boundary breaker, and you're here to change corporate America.
Hold up. I am so much cooler than everybody else. Let me just introduce myself.
You know.
Right. How about shut up, go to the back of the room.
Just do the work.
Just do your job.
Just do it.
Hey, there's trash on the floor. Someone needs to sweep it. You're the new girl. Pick that trash up. We'll holler at you when we need you.
It's one thing if they really want her. And she looks like that, but they're like, we'll let it slide because we want her because she can do the job.
You're qualified.
It's another thing that she's like, I want to work there. Well, they're like, well, you don't.
You're not qualified.
You're not qualified to work for us. Well, why not?
Because you don't have the education.
But then she's going to blame it on race or her looks or all these other things, but you're not qualified for the job. So, sorry.
Yes.
Or you're not fit for what we want. You don't look the part that we want for our job. You want them. They don't want you.
That's it. No, you nailed it.
Instead of,
I don't know where we as parents failed, and maybe we didn't all fail. I mean, I love all my children, but even the couple that.
But.
No, there's no but. There's no but. But some of my children, wanted to go out and try the world. Daddy's wrong. I don't agree with Daddy. I'm going to go try everything.
That's normal.
And two of them are pretty much on the way back, like, man, Daddy, you were right. I had fun. It was crazy. I tried this. I tried that. One of them, we love him. We pray for him. And he's coming home because God makes promises that you can't break when God makes a promise. So I'm not worried about it. But even the children that didn't stick to my way of life are still fantastic kids. They still work. They take care of their families. My son don't cheat on his wife. We don't necessarily share the same beliefs, but I still raised a fantastic human being who is a fantastic person in society. He don't sleep with dudes on the weekend. Sorry.
Where is this going?
But my question is,
you
Alyssa,
did raise amazing children.
Yes.
And every time I meet one, I'm
JJ,
like,
listen,
what? These are yours?
Adrina, JJ, Alina, Alyssa, Alana, Aurora, Julian, Annabelle, every single one of them, all eight of them, fantastic human beings. My daughter with Down syndrome is better than half y'all jokers out there that are 20. All right? Anyways, you went for an interview yesterday. I don't know if you can, don't talk about anything that may get messed up. It's not official yet, so don't say names and places. But did you walk into your interview to change and conform the school, or did you have to just go to 4.5 years of school, or however long it took to get everything, plus your internship, to conform to the standard that was set by the state of Florida to be a teacher?
Yeah, if I want to be a teacher, I have to do the things to be a teacher in Seminole County or in Florida in general. I had to go through 4 years of schooling and take every state exam that and follow the practices that they want me to follow. Now, as a teacher, I can go in there and implement my own things, but I'm not taking over the school. I'm following the principal who leads the school, and if I try to overstep the principal, I'm out. There's no, sorry, you're gone. Well, next teacher, bring someone else in. There's right. no.
Yeah. And are you okay with that? Do you feel like you've been messed over, taken advantage of? You feel good about that you studied to show yourself worthy, and you're worthy, and you get a job?
I think what a lot of people is they want to be the best in the room, but I think what you taught us and what I've learned, it's never good to be the best in the room. Once you're the best in the room, then you've got nowhere else to go. You top there. But if you always humble yourself, there's always something you can learn. You're still learning things. I'm still learning things. Heather's still learning. Every day, there's something new that we can learn. It's our job to just keep bettering ourselves, and that's it.
And that, folks, that's is it. My seed, my child, Alyssa Morris. Like now, real quick, I don't have much time left, but kudos. America, stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance to yourself.
America.
To the boys at UNC who kept the American flag off the ground as these dirty, nasty, terrorist bastards, Hamas, Palestine, terrorist bastards, that's what they are, anti-Americans, forget anti-Semitism and hating the Jews. We're in America, on American soil. Play some Big and Rich on the way out today. America's on American soil. The only flag that should ever fly is the American flag. Now, I understand state flags. Well, everybody has their own state. Yeah. You got the state flag.
But the state flag is next to the American flag.
Exactly.
And under it.
Exactly. Thank you. The Palestinian flag, the Hamas flag, the Chinese flag, the gay flag, the rainbow flag, the transgender flag, the Black Lives Matter flag, every other flag is nothing but trash. It's nothing but garments. It's nothing but yarn sewn together. It means nothing. You did not fight and win the war. You did not beat the Brits and take America. You did not, I don't care how you feel about how we took America. There's a game as old as Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, called King of the Hill. Capture the flag. If you're man enough, come take it. You want some, get some. Go find a place and take it. And if you can, then it can be yours. And guess what? You get to put your effing flag up.
What do you think would happen if I went to another nation and took theirs down and put the American flag up?
They would kill you. They would behead you in the street.
Exactly.
And then they would wrap you with your flag and light your ass on fire. First of all, in Palestine, you as a lady can't do nothing. Exactly. You're a lady. You have no value. You're less than a dog. And what about the princesses for Palestine? They throw you off of buildings. They burn you. They hang you. Right?
Yeah.
But forget all that. How dare you come to American soil and touch our flag? It's our flag that we fought and died and bled for. Keep your Almost had to use the dumb button. Keep your effing filthy hands off our flags. You want to protest? That flag is the reason you're allowed to protest. How dare you dismantle, disgrace the banner that allows you the freedom to protest? They're so stupid. Thank God for the boys at Chapel Hill who held up the flag on the flag's campus. And then, better than that, well, cool as that, the interim chancellor, he called in the cops. And he had the American flag, you know, the flagpole. He had it surrounded by cops, shoulder to shoulder, back to the flag, front to the protesters, as he had the Palestine flag taken down and Old Glory restored. How great an American he is. Princeton, Columbia, all these other cockhole places, take note of what an American hero looks like with a backbone and a set of testes. Now, I'm so sorry we couldn't get to this story, but ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm going to save it for next week. If somebody doesn't ruin it during the week, like a big name guy like Bubba, Shannon, or Don, in that order. Well, no, I'll put Shannon higher. I think Shannon's the granddad. I don't know. Bubba's been around for a long time. You got to give respect where respect's due. But there are three genders now.
Trigender.
There's more than that, though, apparently.
Well, you gave me your list of gender identity terms. Keep me on account now, because I don't know where we're going.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes.
There's a gender, bigender, cisgender, gender expression, gender fluid. We should write a song. Write me a song next week. Amy Morris, if you're listening, write me a parody song.
No. I'll find it, and I'll give it to you. There's a lady on TikTok. It's all about pronouns and genders.
All right, give me the song for next week. Heather, you and Alyssa get together. Give me that song for next week. There's gender queer. So the queers aren't even queer no more?
No.
Like, I thought queer was like, man, you're queer, man. You're straight up queer dude.
It's all like right? A label, but you have little labels underneath them all.
So you can't be a queer dude no more.
No, queer encompasses when, all like, of it.
No, no. When I was growing up, that dude's queer. Or that chick's queer.
Well, that was just because they had a funny hairstyle or looked different.
Well, we used that term, hey, don't be gay. Hey, don't be queer. Right? Like, you know, you're playing football in the backyard. Somebody gets hit too hard. They cry. Hey, man, stop being gay. It didn't mean you were gay. But anyways, we're not probably allowed to say that anymore.
Everyone's just trying to be special and better than
gender variant. Ugh. MX. What's that? MX.
I don't know, like, but there is a definition.
We're
going
to get to this. I understand. We're not talking about non-binary. Oh, this is good. Passing. He passed. Oh, he died? No, he just changed. But, guys, third gender. You can be three people at the same time.
Same damn time.
And it's okay. We're going to get to that next week on Florida Man Radio Between the Ribs with Jonathan Morris.
How do they
Heather,
reach you?
Hippopotamus. Find me on Tuesdays at Shannon Burke Show, morganicmeats.com. Ooh. Facebook is a good follow. Morris Family Farms. I'm on there all day long. Morganic Meats, 407-402-5686. Check us out. We out of here. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city.